I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults aged 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider, and if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, rejoyn.com. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. I hope that everyone had a lovely Thanksgiving here in America. If you celebrate, I stayed in California for the holiday, and I did have one of my best friends come and visit. That was so fun. So I used to live with one of my friends, John, and he and I lived in New York together for maybe 3 years. Oh, I loved that apartment. I loved living with him. It was great. And now I live with another best friend of mine. However, she was out of town for the holiday and he had work to do in Los Angeles. So I thought, why don't you just stay in my roommate's room? And we got to play roommates again. It was really nice. And his birthday overlapped with the trip and Thanksgiving. It was really fun. And on top of it, I've been fostering a puppy. This puppy I've named Spoon. And it was so fun to play house with John for a week. And I absolutely loved it. My Thanksgiving was really low key. My friend Morgan is a beautiful host, cook, everything. I mean, her charcuterie boards should win awards. It's next level. So I went over to hers with a few other friends and we had a lovely meal, watched the holiday, played Quiplash, quintessential, chill, fun holiday. And I loved it. And I brought the pup and she has a dog and they got to interact. I'll save more of the puppy details because I could really go on and on and on about him. He's so fabulous and I love him so much. We're really attached. We've really bonded. Yikes. It's bad, guys. It's bad. So I will talk more about that experience on the Patreon. But for now, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy December. I cannot believe it's already the end of the year. This year flew by. A lot happened, but I'm going to make a reflection, a little report card for 2024, and I can't believe that that's already happened. My New Year's resolution for 2025 already, more manners. I should say yes, thank you at a restaurant. Would you like some ketchup? I'm like, oh yeah, why don't we say yes, thank you? Just more manners. I want to work on it. I'm too old to not have them. Guys, all I want to talk about is this puppy. He is my everything. He's such a good puppy. We get on like a house on fire. Guys, I don't know what to do. If you follow me on Instagram or TikTok, I'm sure you've seen the content and you understand my debacle. It's quite a sticky situation that I'm in. I'm like, I want to adopt him. I really, really want to. And I think it'd be good. I'm 28 now and I have my life in a good routine. I'm self-employed. I work from home. I'm home a lot. And when I do travel, it's flexible and he's small. He could just come on with me. I don't have a private backyard, but I was over at a friend's house this weekend who does, and watching him play in the yard, all I thought to myself is, I'm gonna get you a house, boy. I am gonna get you a home with a yard that you can run around and have the best time of your life. I was at this house for a PRP facial. I would love to promote PRP. I have nothing but fantastic things to say about it. It's a little crazy. Your blood is drawn. Then it's spun in a machine where the platelet-rich plasma is separated from the blood. And there's healing properties in that. It was initially used, I believe, for medicinal purposes. For example, when I sprained my ankle rock climbing, I got it injected into my ankle and my sciatic nerve. It healed significantly faster than it would have otherwise. And so now it's used cosmetically as well, where you can get it injected as well as microneedled and used as a serum. So I did both. I did it on my face. I did it on my neck and my chest. It's crazy looking. I was going to post a photo on Instagram, but I had so many little bumps on my chest from the injections. It looked like I had a horrible allergy test, but I love it. I've done Botox in the past to keep my skin looking youthful, but I would like to draw out the time between that and instead do PRP. I've done it once before, and it's really interesting because you don't see the results until about 4 weeks or so after, and you look in the mirror one day and think, my skin looks amazing, and then you realize it's that. So I got to do that, and the doggy got to play in a backyard. I've had so many happy times, but I have been a cry baby, guys. I cannot stop crying. A few episodes ago, I discussed watching a movie on Disney Plus called Coco. Family story. I love anything that involves lineage, grief, all of my favorite movies are family movies. And I learned that doing the Artist's Way. One of the activities was write down 5 of your favorite movies. What do they all have in common? And I wrote The Parent Trap, Parasite, Coco. I should know my 5 favorites. I forget what else I put down. Maybe The Wild Robot. I can't remember. But then I was looking at them and I thought initially there's nothing in common. Parasite is a horror movie. Coco is an animated movie. The Parent Trap is a kid's movie. It's not like a kid's movie, but you know, it was one of my favorite movies as a kid. And then I realized, oh my God, these all involve families. I love family movies, movies about families. I love Spanglish. I love, what's the one where they sit Shiva? Forget what that one's called. I love The White Lotus. I think those are my favorites. But I watched Coco and I wept. And then I went to the theaters and I watched The Wild Robot and I sobbed. And I've opened the floodgates for my tears. I've never been much of a crier. I can cry at the drop of a hat right now. This is so sad. I want to say, I don't want to cry right now. So my grandmother's been in the hospital on and off. She's not doing well. I have been prepped for her passing. I'm definitely having some anticipatory grief. So I get a call from my dad last night and I'm expecting this. I'm like, okay, Lola passed and it's okay. And she lived a beautiful, big life. And I said, is it Lola? And he said, no. We didn't say it in that voice. He said, no. He said, I'm so sorry, your Uncle Don passed. It's too much. It's too much. In the last 3 years, every single year, my mom, my uncle, Lola's in the hospital, and now my other uncle. I do not come from a big family. And I want to give a little moment to talk about my Uncle Don for a second because he was my mom's brother and he was one of the most gentle, kind souls, a true sweetheart. He honestly was so similar to my mom, almost just like the boy version of her. Just wanted to make everybody happy. Just wanted to help. He also was incredible with nature, knew so much and was great with animals, but really was such a nature boy. We had this inside joke about jelly bellies that started when I had to have been under 10 whenever this joke started. And without fail, even last year, I will receive an absurd amount of orange jelly bellies in the mail for Christmas. It doesn't matter. When I was in New York, I've had so many different addresses. This man, without fail, will send me a box of Jelly Bellies. He always made me feel so loved. And after my mom passed, a lot of the conversations tended to be about the incident. You know, like, how are you coping with your mom's passing? And he always used our conversations as an opportunity to share stories. Ones that maybe he didn't know because he wasn't there for. And he would share ones that I didn't know. And he really helped me in the grieving process. And I think I helped him too because that was his little sister. And that's my mom. And I'm so sad and so surprised to know that he passed. It really caught me off guard the way I was describing it to my friends. It's like the doctor tells you, we're going to have to amputate your hand. So you're prepping and grieving your hand. I'm prepping to not have a hand anymore. And I go to the doctor and they say, oh, we have to amputate your leg. You're like, what? Huh, no, wait a second. Bad, just different. Also bad, not. But what? That's how it feels when I got that call. And so last night, I come home because I had friends over and they were really sweet and we went out to dinner. Then I went home and just had some alone time, had myself an in the dark on the floor of the kitchen cry. There is no cry as good as the on the kitchen floor cry. Just sobbing, grieving, giving myself a moment to feel. I have this little spoon in my arms and he's just holding me tight and I'm praying to God. Let me keep him. Let me keep him. And his sneezes and his puppy breath. Oh my God, I could smell him all day long. It was so funny. Tyra, it's like, do you brush his teeth? His breath is kicking. I was like, did you just call his breath kicking? One, I'm obsessed with his breath. Two, no, I haven't brushed his teeth. Three, kicking is a funny way to describe it. But he's in my arms. I'm crying over my Uncle Don. Crying on behalf of my family. It's just too much. It's too much. It's too many deaths unexpectedly too soon. I'm just praying. Just praying. Let me keep this dog. Dear God, please let me just keep this dog. I do not. I can't give him. I cannot imagine him going to another family. It kills me. It kills me. I know too much. I love that when he's nervous, he likes when I hold his paw. He likes his hand held. And he loves leaves and he loves music. And he'll sleep on my lap when I work and his favorite place to sleep is on my chest. And he likes getting applause more than treats after he pees. He does his business and he just wants to be clapped at. He's like, ah, I was so good. When John was here, he did his business and I was in the shower. He goes to get John, walks him to the potty pad because he's too young to go outside on walks yet. He walks John to the potty pad and just looks at it and sits and smiles. I was like, wow, good boy. That's so exciting. He's not fully potty trained, but he's doing really well. He definitely understands it. And I can't wait till he's old enough to go outside because I think that'll just be easier and nicer. And I wish I had a backyard and a doggy door. I really wish I did. So had my kitchen cry, cried again today, applied to adopt him, cried while filling out the application form. I've just been crying and crying and crying. I don't remember if it was the Washington Post or the New York Times or the New Yorker. One of them posted an article about the different types of criers. Let me pull it up. That might be interesting. Okay, it was New York Times, and the article is, what kind of crier are you? Your tears could stem from compassion, societal conflict, or sentimental feelings, or you may not be a crier at all. The first kind of crier is the attachment crier. You enjoy developing deep, trusting relationships with the people in your life, and those strong connections can sometimes turn on the waterworks. Separations and reunions may also evoke as an emotional reaction. I've had attachment cries. I would not refer to myself as an attachment crier. This one is most me. The sentimental crier. Oh, I'm such a sentimental crier. The beautiful moments of life. Okay, let's read the description. You respond emotionally when you see good things happen. For example, if you see someone showing concern for another person's well-being, performing altruistic acts, or achieving an impressive goal, you can't help but get a little weepy. And situations that align with your moral compass or belief in what is right tend to elicit an emotional reaction. 100% of the time. That's when I cry the most. That's the one I most align with. Then there's two other types. I'm sure there's so many more, but they give us two other types. The compassionate crier. You show sensitivity towards people who are experiencing misfortune or suffering, and your empathy motivates you to lessen others' pain. People who feel empathy are more likely to cry easily, studies have found. Experts suggest this might be because highly empathetic people have the ability to experience other people's distress alongside of their own. And then the last one is the societal crier. You are invested in the well-being of groups such as your family, religious congregation, or colleagues at work. This means you can sometimes get emotional when people in those groups are at odds with one another. That's because you see the importance of the greater good, even if it might come at a personal cost. As a result, you tend to aim for respectful conversation rather than taking an aggressive or hostile approach. I'm really curious, which kind are you? I probably cried at all four of them, but I align most with the sentimental crier. I feel like most of my tears are tears of joy. I have to be devastated to be crying of sadness, but sometimes things just move me to tears. Past lives. Oh, that definitely is one of my favorite movies. Oh my God, it's so subtle, but it's devastating. Talk about a cry. That's a movie I cried at. I'll cry at movies. Oh my God. I was going on Instagram because I think it's time that I take your questions. I'm getting so many comments. Emily and I made one of those Home Goods videos where you're making fun of how ridiculous some of the inventory at Home Goods is. They had a Highland cow in a bathtub that says get naked on it. And I think there may have been a lemur sitting on top of him or a meerkat. I don't remember. Something absurd. I referred to the Highland cow as a yak. And all the comments are, it's a Highland cow. It's a Highland cow. That's a Highland cow. So FYI, I've now learned I mistook the Highland cow for a yak. But besides that, I'm going to go down to Instagram. Let's see what your questions are. Because the stories that I want to save for the Patreon are A, as a little bit naughty. Ew. I'm so sorry for saying it like that. So I have a little juicy story. Also, I got a free new face and I have to credit my friend for this. She really stuck up for me and I want to tell that little story. And then some adventures with Spoon. So I'll get to that later. But first, let's answer your questions. And before I answer your questions, let's hear a word from today's sponsors. Financial freedom is one of my biggest values and I hound it into you guys because it's so important to me and I want you all to have financial freedom. So I'm really excited to tell you about today's sponsor, Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Now, Acorns is helping you build your financial future in the background so you can just focus on holiday shopping, parties, travel, whatever. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with just spare money that you have right now. So that could be $5, even your spare change. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So when you grab that coffee in the morning on your way to work, that's investing. Head to acorns.com/Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing in your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Lexi. Okay, ladies, wedding season has expanded to the full year. Fall weddings, winter weddings, and if you're gearing up for a wedding, whether you're the bride, a bridesmaid, or a guest, Birdie Gray is about to be your new favorite because they have the most stylish, affordable dresses that are perfect for any vibe. Birdie Gray believes that everyone in a wedding should be able to look and feel great without breaking the bank. That's why all of their bridesmaids' dresses start at just $99, and each one is thoughtfully designed with the fabric, the fit, and the color in mind. If you go onto their website, you can pick the color that you want, and then they have every different silhouette. So if you like a more low cut, you want a high neck, you want it cinched at the waist, you want a more bodycon, there's a huge variety. And Birdie Gray is not just about bridesmaids' dresses. They have something for all bridal events, from engagement photos to the bachelorette and even the honeymoon. So if you have a special event coming up, I highly recommend going to www.birdiegray.com now. That's BIRDYGREY.com. Find the bridesmaids' dresses perfect for you. Y'all already know what's up. The thing that we do not ever want to experience is the vicious week before our period when you start feeling like you could crawl out of your skin gets covered in pimples, mind you, the cravings, my God, could eat your own hand. But now it's easier than ever to manage PMS with Estro Control. Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormone health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. The way that Estro Control eases PMS is quite interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't being processed well in the liver, women may start having PMS, spots on their skin, getting the cravings, feeling low and down all of a sudden. So Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month, because PMS, it can rob a week of your life every month, and that's so not fair. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, HappyMammoth.com, and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. First question is from Kendall, and she's looking for ways to deepen a friendship without oversharing or getting into heavy topics. If it's not chat, it should be experiences. That's such an easy way to bond with someone or to deepen a relationship. If you travel with them, even if it's just a day trip, going somewhere new, exploring something new, our memory tends to be a little bit sharper when we're doing something new as opposed to a routine. And if you guys can have a sharp memory together, going on a hike, going to this cool town, you know, something like that is what I would recommend. Grace said, you need to keep that fucking dog. Guys, I'm trying, trust me. I know I do. Someone else, carrot legs, LOL, said, not a question, you have to keep Spoon. He's asleep next to me. Ooh, okay. Oh my God, I want to talk about Black Friday. Madison Lecky asked, what's on my Christmas wish list? Guys, do not get me wrong. I am not above shopping, but I'm not the biggest shopper. And I'm not a shopper in the way that a lot of these girls on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube are. It's kind of gross. This sounds like judgment. We listen and we don't judge. But I didn't buy a single thing for Black Friday this year. The last thing I want is another thing. I have so many things. I have too many things. I did a huge closet purge and I'm ready to do it again. There's too much. And I didn't even really shop in between these purges. I just still feel like paring down my items. I've become less attached to my items, which I love this whole release. It's been a year of a lot of release, which is something I needed. I hold on to things. I hold on to items. I hold on to stress. I hold on to guilt. I hold on to grudges. And I've released a lot of it this year. And the more you do mentally, I've found that I've become a lot more free with my belongings, where yes, there's though, but you never know, there could be an occasion to have it that easy to get rid of now. But even those things that are, wow, I loved this bag. Like I really did. But if I'm not using it anymore and I don't really like it and I don't see myself using it, I can let it be for what it is. I got rid of my childhood backpacks that I was holding on to. One of them I had held on to since high school. This is worse. The other one I had held on to since elementary school. I have lived in 7 to 8 apartments since leaving my family home. It shouldn't have made it through all those moves. I shouldn't be here this many years later with those bags. And those are things that I was holding on to just because they showed time. But I felt good to let go of those. And the more items you have, the more of a burden it is. There was a period of time that I thought, oh, you know, I can always buy this piece and then I can sell it later if I don't like it. Then you have to worry about selling it. That's a whole chore in itself. I cannot stand going to sell my clothes. It's a humiliating experience for some reason. They really need to improve it. It really makes me feel like that meme of the ant holding the stick in the little runaway bag. That's how bringing clothes to Crossroads feels. I hate it. So I'd rather just not buy things. And I don't know if that's a sign of growing up or what. I think it's a sign of me freeing myself and releasing myself of having to hold on to everything. I want to hold on to everything. It's like, I don't want to forget my life. Same thing. I would never delete a picture, you know, within reason. But now I can go through old things, old camera roll photos, and just clear stuff out. I just want less. It feels good. But someone, what was the question? Because I really took it and ran. Oh, the question is, what's on your Christmas wish list? I want a Mason Pearson hairbrush. They're overpriced, but I want one. It feels like a step in womanhood. I do not know why. I've also had a massive hairbrush fixation. I've been on a hair growth journey this year. I don't have too much to show for it, but I have a little something. I have baby hairs and my hair is more full. I won't have one of those crazy dramatic before and afters that the commercials will, but my hair is looking the best it's ever looked, or the best it's looked since, I don't know, meeting the flat iron as a teenager. And through that, I've been experimenting with different brushes, wooden brushes, plastic brushes, wet brushes. I've probably purchased 4, maybe 5 hairbrushes this year. And that's the real one I want. I really want that one. And that's the main thing I want for Christmas. Aside from that, I'm kind of curious about the Dyson Airwrap or the Shark Airwrap. I think there's another brand that has one out now. I think they're just going to become more and more accessible, but I'm interested in that. I'm fine if I don't get that. I really want the Mason Pearson hairbrush. I also have a steamer that's probably all of $35 on TikTok shop that I'm interested in. And that's about it. As I said, the last thing I want to bring in here is another thing. I'm open to bringing things in that are replacing things. I can get rid of the wooden hairbrush because I'd rather have the Mason Pearson one. It doesn't really work for me. I would love to replace my steamer. Yeah. A one in, one out sort of thing. But even books, for instance, where I used to want as many books as possible, I'm going through my existing books and I would like to read every book that I own. I want to go through my to-be-read list of books that I've already purchased. Also, I started listening to Cher's memoir. I'm maybe 2 hours in. It's a 15-hour long audiobook, maybe longer because I'm on 1.25 speed. And it's also part one. Her life is nuts. Her family tree, buckle up. I'm listening to it on Audible because I prefer to listen to memoirs read to me by the author, whereas a fiction novel, I actually would prefer to read it myself. And then nonfiction, it really depends. If I think I'm going to be taking a lot of notes, none of you asked about this. None of you asked. But Cher's memoir so far is incredible. I love it. I also finished last week Danae Logan's Sovereign Love. I have followed Danae Logan on Instagram for maybe 2 years. She's a therapist specifically in couples counseling. Her approach is unlike anything I've ever seen before. It makes sense to me. It really makes sense to me. And she has a book called Sovereign Love that I would recommend reading whether or not you're in a relationship. I'm not in a relationship. And I found it incredibly valuable. You could listen to it. You could read it. It's hard to find. It wasn't at my local bookstore. I had to order it online. Oh, no. You know what? I think I ended up finding it at Barnes & Noble. I love that she approaches the concept that men are taught not to feel and women are taught not to care that men don't feel. I also love the way that she explains why women end up resenting men for certain behaviors and why men end up resenting women for certain behaviors. And we all have feminine and masculine energy within us. And you might be acting in one and realize that you're much more comfortable and stronger in the other. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I cannot recommend it enough. Oh my God, I need to turn around. I'm sitting on the couch, not looking out the window when there's the most beautiful sunset. Shout out to Los Angeles December 1st sunset. This one's a real good one. Blue, purple, yellow, pink. Really nice. Wow, another one. You need to keep the dog.
I know I do.
Millie's weird illustration. Just talk more about the puppy, please. Every tiny detail. He's so tiny, so small. He's so small. He's even smaller than he photographs. And that's been the feedback from everyone is, oh my God, he's so much smaller. He's little. He's a little guy. And he's already grown since having been with me. It was so cute. The first day I was taking him home, he got in the car and he was getting from the passenger seat to the driver's seat and he slipped and fell in the cup holder. Imagine being so small that you can fall in a cup holder. Are you kidding me? You're kidding me. Live, laugh, love, 5877. How do you know when to commit to something? If you think about something and you dream of something, but it scares you, do it. Those things that terrify you. For instance, I am so scared of owning a dog. Foster is the perfect thing to do. You know, you get to hang out, but it's not the full decade and a half long responsibility. But I want to own a dog in my life. I really want to, and I've been wanting to, and it scares me. But those are the things in life worth doing. Telling someone you love them when they might not say it back, it's scary, but those are the things to do. You know, you've always wanted to be a lawyer, but law school seems hard. It seems draining. You feel like you'll become depressed and anxious. Give it a shot. You owe it to yourself. Ava Litz asked, any advice to get through the junior year in high school slump? Junior year of high school was the worst year of my life to date. 2013 was a nightmare for me, and that is almost too personal. It was when everything in my life was coming to a head. My boyfriend, my mom, my grandfather, my dad, myself, my grades, my health, everything was suffering, and I really wanted to unalive myself. And then on top of it, you have the slump where you're not a senior. All I can say is keep pushing through it. not that you said yours was miserable. Mine was miserable. But I think back and you just keep it pushing. You just keep it pushing. Find something that you find fun and tap into that. I think that's when I really got into YouTube, though, as an example. So much spoon things. Send my love to Spoon. Send my love to Spoon. Wow, so many questions about Spoon. Oh my God, Taylor Fistel said, just sending you back the light you're always putting out, Lexi. You guys are so kind to me. Can I say that? You all, my listeners, you guys are so nice to me. You are so sweet to me. And I cannot thank you enough. And I'm in the mood where I could start crying if I wanted to. I really could. I feel so understood by you guys too. I mean, I really put myself out here. And I dabble with that from time to time of, am I doing too much? But I, in my gut, it feels right. So I continue with it. And thank you. That was a really sweet message. I liked that. Lux Luna said, I'm turning 25 soon. Do you have advice? What should I introduce in my skincare? Retinol or tretinoin if you want to go crazy. It's one of the few, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I've heard from estheticians. It's one of the few products, not products, but ingredients, that not only slows aging, but can actually reverse it, which is why there's so much fascination over retinols, retinoids, and tretinoin. I started doing Botox around then. I regret that. I guess I don't regret it because who's to say what I would look like now, maybe if I didn't get it, but I should have waited. I got it way too early and I didn't know what I was doing and I got too much. I have family photos from this Christmas trip from hell, might I add. And I look back and I look dead inside because there's no emotion. I can't move my face. And so I would not recommend that. I would really not recommend that. And if you do, go as low as possible. Do as little as possible. Even what they recommend. If they say 16 units, do 8. You know what I mean? But I would definitely introduce a retinol. I would also begin, if you don't already, just developing a routine. Get in the habit of moisturizing and putting on sunscreen in the morning. Get in the habit of taking off your makeup, cleansing. If you have a serum or some sort of extra product you like to use, using that and then a moisturizer. And do that as many days, 9 out of 10 times. That's what you're doing. I always say that I give myself one day a year to sleep with my makeup on. I got a lot of compliments on my skin yesterday when I was getting the facial. Or was that Saturday? Yeah, that was yesterday. Wow. Yesterday was a jam-packed day. Wow. Really thinking. Okay. Never mind. Why do I keep making that weird laugh today? I keep going, I didn't even do it right. Chantel Miller asked, what are your favorite candle perfumes and overall scents at the moment? I'm so glad you asked. Why did the mic cut out for a second? I'm so glad you asked. It's that laugh. I chuckle at myself. I really do. So many things in this life are funny. I haven't even told you about the stranger that Emily Owen and I met on the sidewalk. Unless I did. Did I tell you that I got breakfast with a stranger? We got breakfast with him again. And he was calling me out for giggling at him. He's like, you just giggle all the time. I was like, yeah, because you're really funny. You know, when someone takes something so seriously that isn't serious to me, I giggle and maybe it's a little inappropriate and maybe it's not well-mannered. As I said, New Year's resolution. But there are so many things that are funny. And so, yeah, because life is beautiful and life can be deep and profound and hollowing. And because of that, when I see people that are acting like something that is could just be a random, like slightly bad Tuesday is the devastating, hollowing, exposing experience, I giggle a little bit, but that's my own problem. But so much of it isn't, so you may as well smile. That sounds like a quote that you would find at a Home Goods, but I do stand by it. You should be living and laughing and loving. But my favorite scents. There are two scents from Aesop. One, my favorite perfume is Adesis. I love it. Adesis smells like you are walking through moss barefoot in a fairy wonderland. And then the other one is their newest scent. And I believe it's pronounced Vivrel. And that Smells like you're sitting under a plum tree as the sun is starting to set and summer's coming to an end. Great scents. One of my go-to perfumes, though, is called Maya, and it's a roll-on perfume that matches with your own pheromones, I think. And I love that one. I'm running out of it and it's kind of expensive. All my favorite perfumes are so expensive. Is what it is. I liked Le Labo for a while, but everyone wears Santal 33 and Noir. They're still great. I still love them, but I've moved on to Aesop. As for candles, because I have been lighting my candles, life is too short not to light the expensive candle. This is also where I'm at in my life. Free yourself. I do not need to have a drawer of 4 backup candles. Light the damn candle. I would rather have enjoyed and burned and gotten to experience the candle than just know that I have expensive candles sitting in a drawer. It's sort of, oh my God, I don't know if you guys were like this. I was definitely like this as a middle schooler. I would not only keep packaging, I would keep secondary packaging. So I would buy a MAC lip gloss and I would keep the box that the lip gloss came in and the MAC bag. But that was during the day and age where it was brag-worthy to have as many bags as possible. Everyone wanted to have that shopping montage image of holding all the different bags from all the nice stores. So I would hold on to my Juicy Couture shopping bag. I would hold on to my MAC. And if I ever, I think I got something from Burberry one time, so I kept that bag. And oh my God, at this point in my life, get rid of it. I don't want it. I'd rather have fewer things. But candles, I was burning another one from Aesop. I didn't love it. There is this candle that I cannot remember, but the outside is made of wax, so the candle sort of melts as well as the wax melts. I always like to have one scented candle. I do have a couple Margiela candles, and those smell great. They do burn a little bit more quickly than I would like. The one that had the wax, that one burned pretty slow. That lasted a long time. I like to have one scented candle, and then just fun, funky-shaped candles to provide the candle light, but not all the different fragrances. Experiment with candles. I also want to get a candelabra. That would be so moody and sexy for a bedroom. Oh, guys, I wish I had a dark fireplace room right now with a chimney and a dark leather chair. No, not the leather chair. That doesn't sound very comfortable, actually. But I want to be in this dark, moody castle with a candelabra and a burning fireplace and be under a beautiful blanket. That's all I want. Anyway, check out those 2 cents from Aesop. Isabella Valley asked, card game versus board game. I love a board game, but card games are a lot more convenient because you can just bring a deck of cards out with you to a bar, to the beach. Takes up very little room. And there's endless games. Whereas if you're playing a board game, that's kind of the game. So I'd probably say card game. Millie Mullins. All right, let's get a little sexy for a second. What's a fetish you couldn't get behind? I don't know, because I don't have any crazy strong ones of my own, but if I was with someone that had certain fetishes, if that made them happy, I would totally be willing to entertain them. That's kind of a shy answer, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Now, if you want to hear more about Spoon and the adventures of the last week and a half of Spoon, you can keep listening to the Patreon. I will have it linked in the show notes. Otherwise, I'll leave y'all here. Thank you so much for listening. Merry Christmas really early. I love you all. Thank you for listening and being so sweet to me, truly. Take care. XOXO, Lexi.